19 again with Reverend Mark Dale, who's coming down from Perth to preach to us next week. I do count it a great honour to serve as the pastor here at St. Nick's. I love being in Rockingham. We love, as a family, living in Rockingham. We love being in Rockingham, and we love what God is doing in Rockingham. And our love for Rockingham, our love for you, drives our priorities as a family. It drives us to be here, to desire people to come to know Jesus. So please know that you're loved, know that you're prayed for, know that we are committed to Rockingham, and we'd love to see Jesus increase his kingdom here in Rockingham. And what I wanted to do is just glance through this passage, just spend just under 10 minutes looking at it, because I think it gives us a few things to do and to expect and to pray when we think about reaching Rockingham for Christ. We're here and we're at the start of Paul's third missionary journey, and we spend our the action takes place in Ephesus. Ephesus was a major port in what is now modern-day Turkey. Hands up if you've been to Ephesus. I know that there is. Yeah, I've been to Ephesus. I've stood in the brothel at Ephesus. It's a ruin. It's a ruin. So it's fine to be a pastor and go to that brothel. I've stood in the amphitheater that we'll hear about next week. It was a major port. It was a major place of trade. It was a melting pot for power and spirituality. Power and magic were the currency of Ephesus, the temple of the goddess Artemis. Was at the center of Ephesus, and one of the wonders of the ancient world. And the question it gives us is, if we want to see Rockingham come to Christ, what can we learn from Ephesus? What can we learn from the early church if we want to see Rockingham come to Christ? If we want to see revival take place, if we want to be the church in Rockingham, doing God's work with God's heart, in the power of God, what can we take away from these two chapters? Well, I want to give us three things as normal. First thing I want us to do is work as a team. Work as a team. Let me read from 18, verse 24. A Jew named Apollos, a native Alexandrian, an eloquent man who was powerful in the use of the scriptures, arrived in Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught the things about Jesus accurately, although he knew only John's baptism. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. After Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him home and explain the way of God to him more accurately. By this point in Acts, the Apostle Paul is the main character. He's the one who's driving the gospel forward. He's the change agent. The news of Jesus is spreading as Paul proclaims the gospel. But what is interesting at the start of the action in Ephesus is how the gospel team is at work. This couple take Apollos into their home. They hear him, and they say, "This guy needs to hear more accurately about the gospel that we have heard from Paul." And they take him into his home and explain the gospel to him. And notice they didn't take him to Paul. Notice they didn't take him to church. Notice they didn't address him in the synagogue. They didn't even ask Paul what to do. They heard Apollos and they saw what they needed to do for the gospel to go out. They used the resources that they had. They used the knowledge that they had. They didn't just say, "Oh, we don't have all the answers. What if he asks a really tricky question?" They take him to their home and they use the resources available to share the gospel with Apollos. This couple, Priscilla and Aquila, take him into their home. They love him and they share the gospel with him. I love how that happens here at St. Nick's. I love the relationships that we have here at St. Nick's, relationships that wouldn't exist if it were not for the gospel. I love the passion that we have for the kingdom. I love the generosity that we have towards the poor and the marginalized and the persecuted. I was blown away 3 weeks ago when Dave from Open Doors came and went away with a bag full of checks from God's people here at St. Nick's so that he could pass it on to Christians and pastors who are being persecuted for the gospel. I love what we're doing here at St. Nick's. And what we need to remember is that God has designed it that way, that we work together with the gifts that we have got with as the people that God has made us, in the relationships that he has formed for the gospel to go out. And if the gospel is to go out, we need to work as a team, as Priscilla and Aquila did, using the gifts that God has given us. Asking people round for dinner, round to our house, thinking, how can my friend at church become friends with this person who doesn't go to church so that my friend might do the hard graft of sharing the gospel with that person? How can I get the people who I serve with at the op shop to hear the gospel? Who do they need to meet? What do they need to hear so that they might come into a relationship with Jesus? How can I get the family that I've been praying for years and years and so desperately want to be saved by Jesus to come to Carol's so that they might hear about Jesus? How can we work together as a team? That's my question. God has designed it this way, an eclectic bunch of people that have nothing before God, given the power, the spirit, the authority, so that we might be his messengers here in Rockingham, so that we might be his mouthpieces, his people, his megaphones to Rockingham. Work as a team. Second thing that we learn from these verses, I reckon, is expect Jesus to break new ground. Expect Jesus to break new ground in 2023. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. Up until this point, the norm has been that people hear about Jesus, they receive the Spirit of Jesus, and they speak of Jesus, and the gospel goes out. Now something strange happens. Now we've got no time to talk about it. But what happens? For some reason, the giving of the Spirit is delayed until the Apostle Paul lays his hands on these people. Now, there are many things that could be said about this, many theories about this, but the thing that I'm most persuaded by is the reason that this happens is that their conversion needs authenticating through the laying hands of the apostle. You see, we're so through the laying hands of the apostle Paul onto them. We are so early in this gospel movement that it is vitally important that the gospel wave, the wave of people coming to know Jesus, is an authentic wave. And so for some reason, God holds back his Spirit so that a time comes when we know without a shadow of a doubt, and Theophilus, the person who Luke is writing this history for, knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that these 12, and it's significant that they're 12, these 12 are authentic members of the kingdom, that they have the Spirit, they have the Spirit of Jesus. And so God holds back, God holds back his Spirit until the Apostle Paul can, if you like, put their, one of those holograms, you know, those holograms to show something is the real deal. The Apostle Paul putting his hands on these Ephesian Christians authenticates that this is a genuine conversion. Now, this is not prescriptive, but it does show us that when someone hears about Jesus, believes in Jesus, this happens. Not necessarily in this timeline. That when you hear about Jesus, you receive the Spirit of Jesus, and you are mobilized for the kingdom of Jesus. And what happens here in this key chapter in Acts is that the gospel breaks new ground. There are 12 that are converted. There were 12 tribes of Israel. There were 12 apostles. And so 12 Gentile Christians receive the Spirit, are mobilized for the mission of Jesus, and are given all they need for the gospel to go viral in Ephesus, this hub of trade and economy and power and spirituality. And I want to say, expect God to break new ground. Expect for the gospel to go viral. Know that you have all the ingredients that you need for the gospel to go viral. We often think, oh, if I was a different person, or if I had more eloquence, or I had this, or I had that, or I was this person, then people would listen to me about Jesus. If you're a Christian here today, you have everything that you need for the gospel to go viral. And we should expect it. We should expect God to break new ground here in Rockingham. There's many different people groups that are far from Jesus. FIFO workers, POMs, retired, city workers, business leaders. We've got politicians. Heck, we've got the Premier of WA living here. We have everything that we need for Mark McGowan to be on fire for Jesus, to shape our state, shape our nation. We have everything that we need for mindsight after mindsight to be set on fire for Jesus, to be transformed by Jesus. We have everything we need for every grumpy POM to know Jesus, be disrupted by Jesus, and be a missionary for Jesus. Sprouts was something that we never thought would happen. We were praying for these kids. And one thing led to another, and now we've got kids that would never meet a Christian, meeting week on week with Christians, seeing how Jesus works in people's lives, wanting a piece of what Jesus does for people. That wouldn't happen. So expect God to break new ground, and pray that God would break new ground. Pray that God would start a move of youth through Sprouts, through our kids, through the work that is happening down at South Coast Baptist. Pray that God would do a work amongst us, that he would break new ground. And thirdly and finally, pray for miracles. Verse 11, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. There's lots of weird stuff in Ephesus happening here. We get handkerchiefs Paul's handkerchiefs being stolen so that that they would cast out spirits. We get these seven sons of Sceva, these exorcists, using the name of Jesus to increase their trade. What is happening is that a kingdom is falling. The kingdom of evil, the kingdom of Satan, is falling as the gospel goes on the move in Ephesus. That, I think, is the big picture that is happening there. We'll talk more about it next week as we hit the riot and the silversmiths in Ephesus next week. Miracles are happening because kingdoms are falling. And I want to encourage us to pray for miracles. Expect miracles. Expect the gospel to break new ground. And pray that miracles would happen. They may not look fancy as exorcists in our streets. But pray that the miraculous would happen as people's hearts are melted for Christ, as people have their lives disrupted by the gospel, as they turn their lives around and come to know the hope and the joy, the purpose that is only found in Jesus. I read an article this week that our problem, the problem in the world is that is a problem of discipleship. That our world and everything in our world is telling us we need the good life that the world offers. And we need to show people a better life, a better way, that Jesus is better. And we should pray that when that happens, that kingdoms would fall. Kingdoms made by self, kingdoms made by the evil one, kingdoms made by hand would fall and Jesus would be glorified. So let's be praying for that. Let's be on this mission. There is great joy to be had. There is much hope. And we've given everything that we need for the gospel to go viral. Let me pray. I've gone for too long. Father, we do praise you. We do praise you for your work amongst us. And we do pray that you would make new ground, break new ground. We pray for miracles. And we pray, Lord, that we would know much joy as we are part of it, as the people you've made us, with the resources you've given us, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing, "All My Hope on God Is Founded."